deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, whom this mercy has given his only Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sins, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you. great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Scripture readings for this, the fifth Sunday in Lent, the Old Testament reading from the 31st chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
The epistle lesson from the fifth chapter of Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one who takes this honor for himself, but only when God called by God, just as Aaron was. And so also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to teach them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together we confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace be yours, dear Christians, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this fifth Sunday in the church's season of Lent, today's reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark brings to our hearing the following word of our Lord. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It is to these words of our Lord that we give our attention this day, dear friends in Christ. It may be the case that you have, at one point or another in your life, been misled by the cover of a book, a videotape or disc, or a music album, to think that what you will read or view or listen to within the desired media will be altogether within your preference for pleasure and enjoyment, only to discover, after purchasing or renting the selected media and giving it your undivided attention, that its contents was not in keeping with your taste for enjoyment whatsoever. In keeping with the old saying, do not judge a book by its cover. Some forms of media simply do not contain what we envision them to offer us. What appeared to be a desirable collection of words, or motion pictures, or songs, proved to be anything but desirable, and altogether off-putting. Such an experience may be likened to that of a young child who reaches into a candy dish full of distinctly dark-colored candies, rich in appearance, yet when placed in the child's mouth, is spat out because the flavor of the licorice was found to be unpleasant to the young palate. Such an experience of appearances failing to deliver preferred results may also be likened unto what was asked of our Lord Jesus Christ by two of those disciples of his from within his inner circle of three, namely Simon, called Peter, James, and John, those two requesting of him being James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Mark 1:20 tells us that Jesus immediately called these two brothers by his own voice, and they had in response left their father Zebedee in their fishing boat along with the hired servants and followed him. They had left everything behind to follow this one who Simon Peter's brother Andrew had determined to be the Christ, and who the apostle Philip had referred to his fellow servant Nathanael as him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. Now, there on the way to Jerusalem, with Jesus walking ahead of them, with fear and amazement at his chosen trajectory, James and John approached him with the transfiguration still in mind, and with the perspective of him having referred to himself as the prophesied Son of Man, whom the prophet Daniel described as having been given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him, his dominion being an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. They made a request based on that perspective and with some preference in mind to be granted to sit, one of them at his right hand and one on the left, in his glory. They desire to share in the glory of this Son of Man and thus be served by all peoples, nations, and languages, to share in his everlasting dominion and kingdom, which shall not pass away nor be destroyed. After all, they had left everything to follow Jesus and had even become part of his inner circle of trusted disciples, having been made privy to certain events within Jesus' life thus far that had demonstrated his state of exaltation and his otherwise hidden divine nature. Yet, their perspective and the subsequent preference, their take on the surface cover of his glory, was not in keeping with that which his glory would actually present them with. According to Mark's gospel account, the Lord Christ Jesus had already predicted his suffering and death twice before the event recorded in today's reading. He had already spoken of his impending suffering and death even before the event of his transfiguration. Yet the perception his disciples had of him was not that of a man who would submit to flogging and crucifixion. This same teacher who healed incurable diseases, multiplied minuscule means of food to feed thousands, calmed storms, defied the gravity of deep waters, cast out legions of demons, and even raised deceased persons from the dead, did not appear to be the sort of divine ruler who would be delivered over to the likes of weak authority figures, like the chief priests and scribes, to be condemned to death and handed over to Gentiles who he would permit to mock him, spit on him, flog him, and ultimately kill him. It must not have seemed like all of that was included inside the packaging of the Son of Man, whose shiny, extraordinary works of divine mercy and grace would certainly not yield the sort of content and conclusive ending Jesus had thrice given prediction to. Even Simon Bar-Jonah, called Peter, after Jesus initially began teaching of what must come upon the Son of Man, offered his preference of rebuke to the Lord, saying to him, as recorded in Matthew 16:22, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." How could it be so? How could this one who had the very words of eternal life be put to so wretched and loathsome an end? James and John may have desired to be seated at his right hand and at his left in his glory, but they misread and misinterpreted and misunderstood what his glory was truly about. However, as the ever-patient teacher Jesus always will be, he obligingly taught them what was to become of them and what they should rightly expect to read for picking up such a book as the Word made flesh in their making such a request. Preconceived notions of grandeur hardly ever come to pass the way we envision them. People set grand and lofty goals for their lives only to discover along the course of things that the expectations they have for their living end up being tempered with the course of reality. James and John desired to be seated alongside Christ in his glory, but his glory would not turn out to be what they had anticipated. They were likely envisioning the glory of the Son of Man seated in authority over all the world, like a supreme monarch on his throne, in a grand hall with thousands upon thousands attending him. Christians can, at times, get caught up in delusions of grandeur as they envision their lives in Christ as well, with the love of God empowering them to be hailed and honored by all for their positions among the faithful, or at the very least, they may envision a life free from the struggles and tragedies of disease and mortality. The Son of Man's throne was not what either James nor John expected it to be. Instead of a grand armchair, it was a roughly hewn cross of wood. Instead of a scepter, impaling iron nails. Instead of a golden crown, a wreath of thorny branches. Rather than seeing all the nations of the world coming to serve him, John saw Jesus give himself, enslaved in service to all people. That was not the content these disciples anticipated when they left everything to follow him. rather than the two of them being at his right and his left in his glory, Jesus was accompanied by two criminals crucified alongside him, one to the right and one to the left. One of them mocked him unrepentantly. The other asked to be remembered when Jesus entered his kingdom. All three of them suffered death on a cross. Only the one in the middle, the prophesied Son of Man, suffered far worse than written media could translate. James and John had not expected that kind of cup and that kind of baptism to be what Jesus would partake of. James and John did drink the Lord's cup and did receive a similar baptism of suffering unjustly. James being beheaded by Herod Agrippa I, John traditionally told to have survived being placed into a boiling hot oil to later die of natural causes in Ephesus. The both of them discovered, well after their teacher and savior went through what he told them would come to be, that each of them was not able to lord their positions as disciples of the divine and eternal monarch over their fellow human creatures. The kind of power wielded by the Son of Man in his glory was the power to lord over death itself, by his own death, opening that very day, yes, even that very hour, the door to paradise for sinners. Like so many devout Christians and believers throughout the many generations since man first received the promise of God's salvation for them, James and John did not expect the greatness of the Lord to be shown in such humiliating service, nor his preeminence to be found in his enslavement to all as the sole propitiation for all sin. It is probable that they desired their own works to account for something, for some standing among the redeemed of the Lord in his eternal kingdom. At the very least, it may be said that these two esteemed followers of Christ sought for their own will, whatever they would ask of him, to be granted. This approach taken of requesting an incorporation of one's own will into that of the Lord's is quite common among many apparent believers in Christ today, who take a decidedly evangelical bend to their beliefs and practices. Grant, O Lord, for my intellectual assent to your word to be that which grants me eternal life in your name. Grant, O Lord, for my charitable works to be found in the equation of my gaining salvation. Grant, O Lord, that these personal preferences on the elements of your supper be suitable for the purpose of conveying to me your grace. Sinners will always prefer to have things their own way, to have their cake and to eat it too, as the saying goes. Salvation without the Lord's own body and blood being the entrance cost. Forgiveness by way of one's own merit, reduce God's grace to a quid pro quo arrangement, and all the while impose one's own sin-broken beliefs and desires upon the utterly profound and eternal mysteries of the Lord. That is what sinners far too often demand and attempt to lord over him who is the Lord himself, the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, as the prophet Daniel was inspired to call him. Sinners may request and therefore demand some other avenue of salvation other than him who was sent down from above to give his life as a ransom for many. But those who are made to be saints in the Lord their God know that no other ransom cost could or ever would be paid other than the sinless, spotless Son of Man, whose glory was shown in his crucifixion for the salvation of any and all sinners who would believe solely in him. What sort of ways do you lord your own will over the Lord your God? Are there aspects of the Lord's teaching that have become disagreeable to you? In the end, your own preferences will not be taken into account. Your own disagreements with his word and teaching will be squashed under the oppressive weight of the wages of sin having been earned as death comes to claim your body. But find gratitude and solace in this, dear fellow Christians, that even when death comes for your flesh, it cannot lay claim to your soul. Even though we should heap mountains of entitlement and Burger King-style preferences upon how we practice what we believe and insist that whatever we ask of the Lord be accommodated as though there were no other reason why the Son of Man should have descended from heaven unto earth, trust and believe that you are not your own. You have been redeemed with the highest of ransom costs. There is no first place prize for those who would desire for their own personal salvation to cost less than what had to be paid. There is no trophy or medal for the greatest of all the saints, whose own merits were sufficient to spring even popes from purgatory. The greatest human being ever to be was given the gravest and lowest of tasks. The first place prize winner for the holiest of all the holy ones made himself to be the unholiness of all the unholy ones. And only he could do it. Even if it was not entirely in keeping with his own human preference to do so. The Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of Man long foretold, gave his own sinless life to be your sin and my sin. And the sin of all people, that he might put to death our sin and pay the ransom cost none else could render. Enduring the mockery, the spitting, the flogging, and the killing brought upon him, that you might be completely forgiven and justified in his name. Such content is not misleading and is far beyond the expectation of those who look upon the crucifix of Christ and prefer that the cross be emptied of its necessary occupant. Such grace and favor found in the pages of Holy Writ, made manifest in the Lord's divine supper of his own body and blood given and shed for sinners, exceeds in value all of those looking merely for guidance in being better people. Such wondrous love, unknown in a world that demands its own way, is made known by the Savior of the world's love to you and to me, that beyond all personal preference, disappointment, or even despair, you and I and all who believe in him might have what no other means could acquire for us, the gift of eternal salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise for prayer.
We now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Today in our prayers, we recall Jan Williams and her family as they continue to grieve the death in Christ of her now former husband, Dick. We pray for Dale and Fran Jenkins and for Julie Ryan, all of whom are homebound members of the congregation. We also pray for, by name, the Board of Elders, or the members of the Board of Elders of Lutheran Church of Our Savior, namely Larry Ristow, David Hall, Terrence Lung, David Mitby, David Sicarellis, and Michael Stevens. And we thank God for anniversaries of birth, of baptism, and of marriage. As we do, we thank God, naming by name Bobby Thomas, who celebrates in these days to come a special birthday. For these and with these and others, let us now pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you our common supplications for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So So guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit that all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. Behold in mercy all who are in authority over us. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. As we recall leaders within the congregation, we ask, Lord, that you would bless Larry and David, and Michael and David, and Terence and David. Lord, in your mercy, we humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation, that you would make known your ways among us. Preserve those who travel, satisfy the wants of your creatures, and help those who call upon you in any need, that they may have patience in the midst of suffering and, according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Here we ask that you attend to Dale and to Fran and to Julie, and also to Jan and to her family. Lord, in your mercy. Good and gracious Father in heaven, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from you, the Father of lights. We thank you as members of this congregation celebrate special occasions of your grace, namely anniversaries of baptism or birth or marriage. With Bobby, we give thanks to you that she celebrates in these days to come a special birthday. We also give you thanks for the confession of the faith made by Patrick, missionary to Ireland, whom the church commemorates today. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.